Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each and every person who's here. Thank you for all those who are being baptized today, Lord, because they have given their lives to you. And I just pray that this would be a special day for them and for their families, would be a strong memory and marker of the fact that they came to you and they've given their lives to you, Lord, that you've washed away their sins and you've given them a new life. Thank you for that. Thank you for the gospel that's offered freely to each and every one of us that are here, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice loud and clear today in all that we do and say. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 28. Oh, thank you. I knew I needed a reminder. So, thank you. We have children's church. If any are going to children's church, they can be dismissed now and they'll be picked up, or not picked up. You need to pick them up and bring them back for the baptism. So during the closing song, grab them and bring them back. We want everybody here for the baptism. So what is baptism? What is baptism? We all probably have ideas in our mind about what baptism is, but I'd like to speak to you a little bit today from the Bible about what baptism is and look at baptism in the Scripture. We won't look at everywhere we see baptism in the Scripture, but there's a couple places I especially like to look at when people are baptized or when I'm getting people ready for baptism. I met with each of the people that are being baptized today, and we went over this. We went over these same verses that I'm going to go over with you today, probably share a little bit more detail on them today. But the first place I'd like to look is Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Before Jesus ascended into heaven and he met with his disciples the last time, he gave them their commission. And these verses are called what? The Great Commission is what they're known as. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope that you know what your mission is, because your mission in life is given here in these verses. Now, how you live that out and how you do it is going to be different based on the way that God has gifted you and God has prepared you to do this. But this is the mission. It's not a mission for one person. This is a mission for the whole church. Now, who's the church? Yeah, you and I. The church is all believers, all time, all places. It's not just one local gathering. This is a local gathering of the church, but the church is all believers, all places, and all times. So if you're part of the church, you're part of this mission. See, when Jesus spoke this to his disciples, they could not fulfill this mission on their own. They couldn't do it. It would not be possible. What it depends on is the fact that if they are his disciples, they make more disciples, and then more disciples do what? They follow the mission and they make more disciples. Amen? That's what discipleship is. It's not just coming to Christ for some kind of fire insurance to save you from the fire of hell, but it's coming to give your life to serve him, to be his disciple. Amen. And to do that. And so here's what he said. He said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's the Great Commission. That's the mission. And if you look at that, he said, you got to go. You got to go and do this. And sometimes that go and doing this is going to a foreign country. Sometimes that's going to your neighbor. Sometimes that's going as you're going to work. There's a lot of different ways that we go and we follow this mission here. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. So again, making disciple is making one who follows Christ, who's a Christ follower, who's committed to following Jesus, who's committing to obeying Jesus, who's put their faith and their trust and their hope in him. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, not just those that are just like you, not those that just look like you, not just those that come from your culture, but go to the world and share the good news about Jesus. Amen? And as part of this making disciples, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So when you make disciples, the first thing you need to do is share the gospel. It's sharing who Jesus is, who you are, why you need Jesus. Do you know that each and every one of us here need Jesus because we've greatly sinned against God and we've offended God, and because of our sin, we're separated from God. And we're born in that sinful condition, and we sin because we are sinners. We don't become sinners the first time we sin. We are born with that disease, and we sin because we're sinners. And we're born separated from God because of that. Every man and every woman has that disease. But God provided a way for us to be made right with Him, and that's through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And when we realize our need for a Savior, the fact that because of our sin, we're going to be forever separated from God, and we are currently separated from God before that, that we need a Savior, we need someone to come in and pay the price for our sin, and His name is Jesus, and He's the only one that could do that. When we see that and we put our faith and we put our trust in Him, He saves us from our sin. His Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and He indwells us, and He says He'll never leave us or forsake us. And that's what it means to be a Christian. And I think being a Christian, we have to realize that our sin was so great. I'm talking about my sin here. My sin was so great that Jesus had to die for it. Do you realize that? That's how significant my sin was. It cost Christ blood. And that's how significant your sin is, and that's how significant everyone's sin is. And also remember how much God loves us. How much does He love us? He loves us so much that He gave His Son. And if you stop and think about that, you can't even fathom how much love that is. And you or I could never do that, but He did it. And He did it so that we can be with Him and we could be forgiven of our sins. So He said that you need to go and make disciples. So you have to evangelize. You have to share the gospel. People need to know the truth. Now, yes, sometimes you share the gospel through your actions, but really specifically here, you must share words because people need to know the details about Jesus Christ. Amen? So you got to share the details. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now part of that is when somebody comes to Christ, somebody gives their life to Christ, they realize they're a sinner, they realize they need a Savior, they realize it's only Jesus, and they say yes, and they accept that free gift of salvation, that a very regular thing we see in the Bible, the way it works is almost right after that they get baptized. Because they have given their life to Christ. And this is not the way it's probably worked for everyone here. This is not the way that people always do it. But this is the way you see it in the Bible. And if you are here and you're a follower of Christ and you've never get baptized, I hope after this today you're like, you know what? I want to be baptized. Because that's what the pattern is in the Bible. People come to Christ and they're baptized. And so when He says, obey everything that I've commanded, He said, go and make disciples. So share the gospel. When people come to Christ, baptize them, then teach them. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So you've got the evangelism, you know, the sharing the gospel. You've got people coming to Christ. You have people baptized. But then you have staying with people, helping people to learn to follow Christ and to continue to follow Christ. And to observe and obey all that He commanded. So one of the things He commanded was to be baptized. Amen? As you look at that. So this, like, why do we get baptized? What is baptism? Baptism is not when you become a disciple. It's not when you become a follower of Christ. It's not when you're saved. But it's an expression of what God has already done in your life. Amen? I'm talking about this water baptism. Now, there's a spiritual baptism, it says in the Bible, that God baptizes us into the body. So I believe when you say yes to Jesus, when you receive Him as your Savior, you are spiritually baptized into the body of Christ at that moment. You are spiritually baptized. This water baptism we have here is symbolic of that. It's being baptized into, making a public statement that you're already baptized into the body of Christ. So this is the Great Commission. And one of the things He says about this is He says, and behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. So when you think about it, we have this great mission from the Lord. We have this great task that we could not accomplish in any way on our own. But what he says is, I will be with you always till the end of the age. Amen? You got to fight with motorcycles and planes and cars and things out here when you're preaching outdoors. You have to know that, right? Amen? So, Eric was talking about the chainsaw and things last year. He got a really big dose of the wind last week when he preached. It was a crazy, crazy day. So let's just remember here, though, going back to the scripture here, this is our mission in life as Christians. This is our mission as a church. So when you become a Christian, you don't become a Christian just to make your life better and live out your faith in a quiet and private way. You become a Christian, and you are then part of the Great Commission to help others become disciples. And remember, you're going to do that all in different ways, consistent with your personality and your gifting and who you are. Now, I want to go on to a next piece of passage, but I want to pause here, and I want you to help me with something. Can you guys help me with something? I get to going, I get on a kind of a roll, and I get to going, and my mind is just going, I'm thinking about the sermon, and I'm getting old, like he said, you know. Did I pray? Yeah. I did pray. I want to pray again, because I felt like I didn't pray. Because that with that children's church thing, it just threw me off there. All right, so let's pray once more. Lord, thank you for today. Again, I just pause and thank you, and I just ask you to help me today as we go through this, and I thank you for each one who's here, Lord, and I pray that as we just talked about being disciples and being part of the Great Commission, Lord, that you would teach us in our lives what that would mean and that you would use us. Help each one of us to learn to come alongside others and help them to be followers of you, Lord. And I do lift up all the difficult situations that are going on. I lift up our country. I lift up those who have family members that died over in Afghanistan, and I just pray for your comfort and your help. I pray for our nation, for our leaders, for world leaders, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. I pray for repentance, that they would turn their heart to you and that they would look to you for wisdom, Lord. Thank you so much. We do that. We want to hear from you today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to part two now. Part two is in the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is the account known as Pentecost. And Pentecost was a Jewish holiday, a holy day, but we think about it in terms of when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And we're familiar with that. And so this is when that happened. This is when tongues of fire came and the disciples were speaking in tongues and people were hearing them speak in their own languages and they were amazed at what they were saying. And during this time, Peter stood up and he spoke to the people. And this was in Jerusalem. And where did Jesus die? In Jerusalem, just outside of Jerusalem. And the people that were here were very much the same people that probably were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Remember when Pilate said, you know, "Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus?" What'd they say? "We want Barabbas, the criminal. Crucify Jesus." So probably these same people. And so when this miracle happened at Pentecost and Peter was speaking and he stood up to address the people, he said this. He said, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." He told them that it was them that crucified Jesus. He laid it out for them. Now, when you hear somebody come and bring something really heavy against you, you have a choice. You could either listen to what they're saying, you could be convicted by what they're saying, or you can be defensive. And in this case, this is what they said. "Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." That means they were convicted. "They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" Now, he shared with them who Jesus was. He shared with them why Christ died. And they were convicted. So in some sense here, I would say they're showing faith. To be convicted, you have to hear the message and believe it. If they didn't believe in Jesus, if they didn't believe that what he was saying was true, they wouldn't have been convicted. They would have thought they did the right thing. But now they realize that they had done the wrong thing, and they're saying, "We know, what can we do? We've done this awful thing." And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So he says to them, this is what you need to do. You need to repent and be baptized. If you have faith in Christ, repent and be baptized. Now, I want you to think about that repentance in two different ways, okay? The first act of repentance that any one of us has is, because repentance literally means a change of mind, a change of thinking. The first act of repentance that any of us has is when we repent of who we think that Jesus is. And who we think we are, and whether we need him or not. So the very first act of repentance that you and I will ever have is turning towards God, is a change of thinking. You go from thinking, "I don't need Jesus," to thinking, "I need Jesus." You go from thinking, "Jesus isn't real, Jesus isn't true," to thinking that I see and I understand that Jesus is the Son of God. He's God the Son. He's my Savior. He died on the cross for me. I need him. I need him desperately. You go from that. You have that transition. That's the first act of repentance. But also, this call to become a Christian is not, like I said, not just fire insurance to keep you out of hell, but it's to turn your life and to give your life to him. So there's a turning of everything in your life. You change the way you think and you start living for Jesus instead of living for yourself. That's the call of the gospel. Now, how many of you are glad you came to church today? How many of you have given your life to Christ? And this is really, and some of you, I want to just recognize, you don't have to raise your hand. There are people here, I'm sure, who haven't. And it's okay, and we welcome that. But we're here to share a testimony. This baptism, all this is a testimony that there is nothing greater than any of us could ever do with our life than to give it to Jesus. That's the very best thing that any of us can do. And that's our testimony to you today. And the call is for you to give your life to Christ. And so these people said, "What should we do?" He said, "Repent, turn towards Jesus, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And so when we turn to Christ, he forgives our sins. And the baptism is really symbolic then of what happens. It's him forgiving our sins. We don't have to wait until we get baptized to be forgiven. We're forgiven right away when we give our hearts to Christ. We give our lives to Christ when we trust him as our Savior. And he says, "You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, I think this is the way that we understand this. This is the way that I understand this and teach this. Is that this, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was coming into the world at this time. And some very miraculous things happened when the Holy Spirit came upon the Jews here first, then came on the Samaritans, and then came on the Gentiles. And so he's in the process of giving the Holy Spirit. You or I, we can't even come to Christ without the Holy Spirit. There's no way. We're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what enables us to believe and to come to him. That's how God works, and that's how he does it. So the moment you receive Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and when you get baptized, it's a symbol of what has happened in your life. Now, Peter goes on and says, "For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Amen. So when he shared this message, he called people to repent. The very people who yelled "crucified" and crucified Christ on the cross, he called them to repent, to turn their lives to Christ, to believe in him, to seek him, to give their lives to him, and to be baptized. And that day, 3,000 people gave their lives. And it says in the people that gave their lives were called by God. And that's why they gave their lives, and that's why they believed, because God called them into this saving relationship, and they believed in that way. Now, when you think about it here today, we're going to have 8 people come up who have told me that they have given their life to Christ, and that's why they want to be baptized. Amen? Amen. That's exciting. Now, the thing is, that call to give your life to Christ is a call that is offered to every single one of you here. Every single one of you, that Christ died on the cross for your sins. And He's offering Himself to you. And salvation and being in a right relationship with God is a free gift to us. It's offered by Him and what He did on the cross. And so each and every one of you are invited to believe in Jesus today. And maybe you'll say, I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I think the next question is, have you been baptized? Have you made that public confession that you've trusted Christ as your Savior? And maybe you'll say, yeah, I've been baptized. And then the next question I have for you, have you been living for Jesus? Are you walking with Him? Are you part of a church? Do you have people around you that encourage you in your walk, that you know that you're in it together and that you're seeking God together? So I would encourage you in that. And I know in my life, there were many times that I wandered away from God. And I think there's still a lot of moments where I'm doing that, and God keeps correcting me and bringing me back and saying, this is what you need to do. And I've worked with a lot of people here through this church and things that have known God in their lives and have times in their lives where they've sought God, but then have had other times where they wandered away from God and sought many other things. If that's you, God is inviting you to come back to Him today, to make Him first in your life. Now, it talked in this, in the book of Acts, about a crooked generation. I want to tell you, we live in one of the most crooked generations right now. It is unimaginable, the things that are going on right now in our world today. And God wants to pull us out of that crooked generation, and He wants us to live for Him and put our focus and attention and our trust in Him. Amen? All right, I'd like you to pray with me here, and then I'm going to invite those who are being baptized to come on up. Actually, I'm trying to figure this thing out as we go. We have a closing song, so during the closing song, those who are being baptized can go get ready and then come back over here and we'll meet. If you've got kids next door, you can pick them up at this time, but let's pray and then have the worship team come on back up, and we'll close out there. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for those who are here today making a public confession, Lord, that they have trusted You as their Lord and Savior. And they want everyone here to know that, Lord. And I just ask You to just watch over our time. I pray that each and every one of the people here who are being baptized would be blessed, and that You would meet them here in this time and experience, Lord. And that each and every one of us that's here would at least examine our hearts as far as where we are in our walk, if we have faith in You, and if we want to receive the free offer that You've offered to us today. Thank You so much. Thank You for this great, wonderful celebration that we're having here today. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to invite you to stand and worship.